From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, October 3rd. Coming up, federal dollars will help bring internet connection to rural communities across the U.S. But new guidance from the Trump administration is asking states to consider the lowest cost options. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A woman from central Illinois is among those detained after the Israeli military intercepted a flotilla of boats attempting to deliver food and medicine to Gaza. Trevor Klotfelter lives in Windsor, Illinois. His older sister is a volunteer on the flotilla. He lost contact with her Wednesday night as Israeli forces boarded the ships.
Myself and her, we've both been in the military, so you know, we've both been in austere places, but to like sit here and play the waiting game on the other side of the fence is different for me.
The Israel Foreign Ministry posted on social media that activist Greta Thunberg and the other boat passengers are safe. Klotfelter believes his sister will be okay, but he is waiting to hear how she is being treated and how long her detention will last. A group of progressive veterans is demanding that Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents stop engaging in what they call mob tactics against protesters and immigrants. Alex Degman reports.
The group Common Defense is responding to 70-year-old Air Force veteran Dana Briggs' arrest last week. Briggs was charged with felony assault of a federal officer after allegedly making contact with an agent's arm at a protest outside the Broadview ICE facility. Demi Palachek, a National Guard soldier for 14 years, says ICE is escalating against protesters.
At first, they just ripped up our signs, but then they started shoving people and throwing us to the ground. Then came into the mob tactics, full-on tackles, dragging people away.
Both the ACLU and the group Illinois Vets for Change joined Common Defense in protest, who say these tactics are also escalating against immigrants. I'm Alex Degman.
As the federal government shutdown enters its third day, Chicago area workers at the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, are worried about how they'll get by. Esther Eugene King reports.
Durrell English has been a TSA officer at Midway Airport for more than 20 years. He's also president of the local union that represents more than 1,400 area TSA workers. He says TSA officers have been told they'd be working without pay until the shutdown ends.
They are very, very concerned about how am I going to get by if this continues down the line. Travel back and forth, the cost of that. Daycare and other issues they run into.
English says the shutdown could result in early retirements and people leaving for other jobs, which could leave TSA without enough experienced workers. He says this shutdown feels different from others in the past because of the current political environment.
That's Esther Eugene King reporting. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker joined experts at the University of Illinois Chicago's Medical School for a roundtable to dispel misinformation. Mawa Iqbal reports.
According to Pritzker, there are two myths that President Trump and Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are spreading. Vaccines are unsafe, and autism is caused by Tylenol. Pritzker even jabbed Trump for mispronouncing acetaminophen last week.
Autism is not caused by vaccines. It's not caused by Tylenol. If you're pregnant and your doctor recommends acetaminophen, let me repeat that word for anybody who doesn't know how to pronounce it.
This comes after Trump warned without evidence that Tylenol, when taken during pregnancy, can lead to autism in children. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, federal dollars will help bring internet connection to rural communities across the U.S., but new guidance from the Trump administration is asking states to consider the lowest cost options. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a high of 90 degrees with a southwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 64 degrees, a south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 89 degrees, southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 58 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Sunday, sunny with a high of 87 degrees and a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, novelist Shelby Van Pelt. Born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, she now makes her home in Illinois, in the suburbs of Chicago. Her debut novel was a breakout success. It's called Remarkably Bright Creatures. I'm Brian Mackey with author Shelby Van Pelt, next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Lots of rural communities still aren't connected to the internet despite decades of efforts to reach underserved areas. States were close to putting millions of dollars for broadband to use earlier this year when the Trump administration put out new guidance. Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports on what that means for the latest effort to get more Americans online.
I'm in the small town of Antlers, Oklahoma.
Hello.
Hi, I'm here to meet Chris.
Okay.
Chris Bailey works here at the Oklahoma State University Extension Office in Pushmataha County.
So, Southeast Oklahoma, we are very rural. We have small communities, which I love. Beautiful country. We have a lot of timber industry, a lot of farming.
Bailey helps connect farmers and families to educational resources. She knows a lot of people in this area don't have good internet. That includes Bailey's other office in a neighboring county.
It still is not good enough for us to upgrade our phone systems to an internet-based phone, and that's what we're really needing in that office.
For years, federal and state governments have been working to expand internet connection, especially in rural communities. In 2023, Congress allocated about $42 billion for states through the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, or BEAD, program. States were gearing up to start those projects, but then earlier this year, the Trump administration pressed pause.
We were days from announcing where we were, and then the rules change.
That's Mike Sanders, the executive director of the Oklahoma Broadband Office. In June, when the Trump administration issued new guidance, the office had to completely revamp the state's plan.
Where we had 8 to 10 months leading up to that, we had 90 days. Everything was condensed in a year's work, I kid you not, into 3 months.
Oklahoma submitted its final proposals earlier this month, but several other states, including Missouri, Texas, Illinois, and Indiana, needed extensions. In the new proposals, the Trump administration asked states to consider more types of technology and the lowest cost options. Drew Gardner is with the Benton Institute for Broadband and Society, which advocates for reliable and affordable internet nationwide.
So we're not going to be looking at sort of the best quality network. We're going to be looking at the least expensive networks.
Fiber optic lines have been the gold standard for years. Now, satellite and fixed wireless are playing a bigger role in the state's proposals. Those technologies are cheaper to install than fiber, but some question whether they'll be as reliable and long-lasting. In Wisconsin, Gail Hike, community development specialist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says initially the state was looking at 93% fiber in the program. Now, it's dropped to 73%.
We're hearing from communities that are concerned. What's that going to mean for sustainability? What's that going to mean as far as in some topography areas?
Satellite and fixed wireless beam service over radio waves, which can get blocked by trees, mountains, or a bad storm. Still, it's cheaper, meaning the whole BEAD program will cost less. But each state had an initial budget, and now it's unclear where leftover money will end up. Gardner says it's up to the National Telecommunications Information Administration, or NTIA.
They are being very cagey about it, what they're going to let states do with that money. By law, it is the state's money. We're just waiting for NTIA to say what they can do with it.
In Oklahoma, Sanders says this federal money will help them connect broadband in the last, toughest-to-reach places.
When it's all said and done, I believe Oklahoma will be very proud with the product that we have produced. However, there's a big however here, everything will now lie with NTIA.
The agency will have the final word toward the end of the year. Sanders hopes to have shovels in the ground next spring. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Esther Yunji Kang, Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, and Anna Pope. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.